You're listening to The Cowboy Pages. Come with me, Christy Crowley, as I travel America in search of cowboy poets and their wisdom. Today's book, Santa Clarita, California, Chapter 4, Out on the Porch for a While. My conversation with musical group, the Quaby Sisters. First meet Sophia, Grace, and Huldah Quaby, you can't help but be struck by three pair of the most amazing eyes you've ever seen. Part lustrous green and part all-knowing wisdom, they dazzle. These three young women make up the Texas swing band, the Quaby Sisters, not only notable for their three-part fiddles, but also for their incredible vocal harmony. When we sat down, I asked them about this vocal harmony, Sophia singing lead, Grace singing low harmony, and Huldah singing high harmony. We started out by discussing the magic of vocal harmony, how three voices can come together to create a new sound, a kind of fourth voice, if you will, a sound interdependent on its parts for life, and yet having a life of its own. I questioned how their harmony came to be, and that works emotionally a little bit for you, and I wonder how, you know, is there a negotiation? And this I think is a bigger, you know, we could do a kind of on a more macro level. I think this is a struggle that happens for artists all the time. What does it actually mean to collaborate? Mm-hmm. And I know I have just pulled the rug out from underneath myself so many times walking into collaboration with an agenda. Which is just deadly, right? It's just deadly. Mm-hmm. You have to come in with the kind of openness to make the new thing that's never existed before. So I'd love to just hear about the collaboration and how that manifests actually musically.
I mean, we can each kind of give our perspective since we sing the parts.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
No, you're the lead.
Okay.
Lead singer.
I think... that is an ever-learning process for us, and we used to have a musical arranger, but now we do all of our stuff on our own. And the musical arranger, our musical arranger was also our music mentor, so we learned so much from him. He's a fabulous, fabulous musician, which it's great to have a mentor, especially just being a young musician and growing up and having someone who's really good, like, over you, but you eventually have to get out on your own and do it yourself, figure it out. So it is a really cool process. I feel like right now the way I'm processing it is each one of our different parts, lead, low harmony, high harmony, has different roles. And my sisters can just talk about their opinions of their parts and how they work. But for me, I kind of have to be more the visionary. And then if I sing something, if my sisters don't care for how I'm singing it, then, or my phrasing ideas for our fiddle parts or whatever, then they can, you know, they can edit me. They can say, well, I think we should do the bowing like this, or I have this idea for the phrasing. Just because they play a harmony part doesn't mean they can't come up with lead ideas and lead lines. And I think the more ideas all of us bring to the table, lead-wise, the more collaborative. It's not going to just sound like my brainchild. And I think that's really cool. And then sometimes there's a song that we're doing now that was a little bit more of my brainchild, but that's cool too. Like, if any of us have those kind of things, then, you know, it just happens to be that that's how that song developed. And if they like it, then we'll go with it. But we all bring ideas to the table. We all edit one another. And even, like, Grace has a particular way of her natural way of phrasing, which is really cool. Hold and I tend to, when we sing, we tend to think and phrase things similarly. Mm. And Grace has a little bit more of her beats to a little bit more of her own drum. Not that she can't mold in with us, which she totally can, but it's cool because it's kind of like, well, let's give Grace more chances to express her rhythmic take on this song, and then I'll mold to that for my lead line, and then she can follow that path, because whenever her ideas, they flow out just slightly different. So that actually is cool, the diversity to bring in. And then with our fiddles, we follow a similar thing, but we don't have to, you know, we don't stick with lead, low, and high harmony for the fiddles for each one of us. I know on the podcast you couldn't see I was pointing to. You know, so we can mix and match, like, the parts on that. But a lot of times, predominantly, our songs are vocals. And so fiddles, usually the part that we sing is the part that we also play on the fiddle. Just to keep things, mm-hmm. you thinking in that vein. Y'all jump in and help me out on this. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's kind of a sketch.
Yeah.
Does that?
Yeah.
Like, kind of technically, as far as playing harmony, I'm generally singing the low part. And in the course of doing vocal training through the years, Hull and I are about at the point where we've decided we're going to switch parts. After years of me singing the low part and Hull singing the high part, we've pretty much figured out I have a higher natural speaking voice and she has a lower one. When we started singing as children, the thought was, well, you're the oldest, you can probably sing the lowest. You're the youngest, you can sing the highest. And at the time, that may have been a good move, but now we're considering reworking a lot of our parts. Mm-hmm. We haven't done that on all of our music yet, but someday
it will really change our sound.
That would change our sound for sure. And it would be fun because mm-hmm. then that just adds some more variety. As mechanically speaking, on playing the fiddle, sometimes certain harmonies, it's just a weird. You might find a certain bowing that would be very natural for the lead will just be very weird for the harmony because of the notes you're playing. So sometimes we'll change things to sit more naturally for all the parts. And when we go to pick a key for a song, because we sing so much in triple, we sing so much in harmony and play so much in triple fiddles, we have to place it where it works over the range of the instrument or with our voices. Like, what's the lowest and what's the highest? So sometimes we don't sing songs in the traditional keys because either we're playing on the fiddle and we want to have more open string sound, and some keys are all closed positions, or sometimes it's just too high or just too low.
So for the harmonies.
Got to keep some people out of the basement and some people out of the sky. So that those kind of things are, you can, they're limitations, but you can look at them as a challenge too and say, how can we make this work?
That's cool.
So that's kind of the mechanics of the harmony.
That's great.
Oh, and then y'all should talk a little bit about, like, the role of harmony versus lead. Ding dong. Sorry, I stole your thunder there, Holla.
Yeah, just recently we've been in a lot of rehearsals with our bandmates, and we've actually been recording everything that we do. And it's a unique dynamic to be a harmony singer. We all do work on lead vocals. It's something we want to integrate more, if you will, into our music, where each one of us takes more and more insight into take down a rabbit trail of what we're doing right now with our band. We worked a lot with, he was talking about our music mentor, and he was in our band actually for many years. But he left the band in 2013, at the very end of 2013. So 2014 was a big transition year. We didn't play a ton of gigs. We were home a little bit more. We kind of took a little bit of a, it wasn't a break, but it was just kind of like a pause. We were reforming. We had all new team members, everything. And then 2015, signed with a new booking agency. Everything kind of got revamped and restarted. So, but we've kind of tried to take our band and promote it more as Americana, because now we're integrating originals, and we're not quite sure how all those are going to sound and what, quote, genre they're going to be in. So it's just more Quavy Sisters music. So for us musically, figuring out our sound has been a big part of what we're doing right now. Kind of a new, we're older, we're different people, we're different players in our music. We are drawing from a lot of different styles, even more so than what we drew from with our teacher. And in talking about the harmony thing, just working on singing together, being a harmony singer has, you're so important. If there's not a part there, it would sound so weird. But yet, it's a weird dynamic in singing harmony, because you want to be a mirror image of what the lead person is doing. Yet you can still be unique, but still be a follower. It's kind of like, it's like you follow the rhythm of the song, and you can still have the same phrasing, but you can put your own stamp on it and still sound like you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I always call singing three-part harmony and playing triple fiddles, it's like a ball. You don't want anything to poke out of the ball. So, I mean, we'll do like our hand in a ball cymbal when we're in rehearsal, and I'll be like, I'll look at Grace and be like, your part's poking out of the mix here. And we've been using that term for a really long time, and I always think about singing harmony in that manner. So sometimes, right now we've been learning a lot about taking some vocal lessons and like doing some really kind of technical kind of singing technique type thing, because you just have so much more longevity and you can do so much more musically with proper skills. Mm-hmm. Vocals is such a different animal than playing an instrument. It's not even funny. The amount of hours you can practice, how you approach it, I mean, you gotta like start thinking about your food, what you eat, right, what you drink. It's a whole different thing. You can play fiddle and drink coffee all day. Singing, you can't do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a curious thing, right? The instrument is so different, mm-hmm, and it has such different parameters, and it has to be treated in such different ways. Mm-hmm. And
you it's know, much to, more to persnickety.
Be, yeah,
it's very persnickety.
Yeah, and you know, to be able to be fluid in both of those instruments, I think is a pretty amazing thing. Mm-hmm. A couple of things just really jumped out at me about what you were saying. Just in this culture right now where everything is so, it's the me culture, right? Everyone's posting about everything they're doing, and I'm totally in the mix on that too. And, you know, we're like curating our lives on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of that. And, you know, there's a sense, I think, some of the kind of marketing and advertising now, there's this sort of undertone of like, go get what you deserve. You know, the world is your oyster. It's all about you, and find your power and read this book and get the secret. And
You're so right.
And it's sort of a double-edged sword, I think, from making us feel really empowered to making us feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not the center of the universe. I'm failing. But the kind of metaphor of the three of you as these individual artists with these individual gifts coming together in service of something else.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Feels like a really, it's almost like a little revolution, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're staging a little revolution to say, you know what, that this thing that's outside of me is bigger than this thing that's mm-hmm. that's just me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I exactly. wonder about the kind of like, that just feel totally fluid to you? Does it ever feel like,
no,
maybe I'm tired of being in service of the thing that's outside of me?
Actually, it's kind of ironic that you're bringing this up, at least for me. In one of our very recent band rehearsals, we were working on just some, I won't get into tons of technical details, but we were working on some technique stuff. We were also working on just kind of vision for how we want specific types of songs to sound. And I kind of had this big, every once in a while this happens to me, and then I know I have to go sit down and just kind of like write it down. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go out on the porch for a while and just write for 15 minutes. And I wrote it down, and I titled the head of the page, Mental Life Shift, just cut and dried. Because legitimately, it was the concept of to be the best musician within the band, I have to be really selfless. And it was kind of like a mentality that kind of hit me that I have to be really willing to listen. Not that I haven't been, but like even more so, I have to be really willing to listen to other people, whether I fully understand what they're saying or not, or fully understand what they're playing or not. And it just kind of hit me like, I will be a better friend, I will be a better sister, I will be a better player if I just calm down and get over myself a little bit. And it was just kind of like a mental shift. Like if I just truly take on just get a little Jesus in my heart right now, I will be a better musician, you know?
Right.
And put that in my playing. And it was a great feeling. Like I really kind of had like that connection because I've kind of been really wanting to, like, instead of just following what Sophia says, per se, but just kind of like I'm struggling with reading her and everything as a lead singer, if I kind of get over myself and listen to her vision for the song, and then I kind of interject, it's just, it kind of all starts working together, and it becomes very organic.
But dang, it's hard.
It's hard.
Really hard to not get, like, wrapped up in your agenda and not get wrapped up in your really brilliant idea that you're having in that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I just unpacking that a little bit, like the choice to step out and mm-hmm. reflect, that's a pretty wise choice. I could take a little note there for myself. Maybe I should be exiting to the porch a little more frequently for some writing down of things. But, you know, it's, we have this passion, we have this drive, and we have this integrity around our art. And I think it's so lovely that you keep putting it into the group. Mm-hmm. You know, that you keep having those moments of saying, okay, I got to shift my perspective. And I don't think that there's a lot of support of that culturally.
No.
You know? And I think mm-hmm. it's also why we're so attracted to a group like the three of you. It's hard to, you know, it's like we all want this community and family that you have, mm-hmm. but we don't know how to get it. And at the end of the day, it's like, can I actually surrender my own, you know, mm-hmm. idea of what it's supposed to be to having that kind of family and camaraderie, right? There's a price for everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is super cool that you're bringing this up. It's super timely. I feel like it's like this weird balance, and I'm trying to do this right now, of doing what you're saying and what Hulda just said, of like laying down your own kind of ego-centered, you know, way of going about things, but also learning how to be a really strong individual at the same time. I don't think one trumps the other, because the stronger, like for me being a lead singer, what I'm working on is trying to become a really good leader. That's why they call it lead. That's why they call the part lead. So my sisters, they're the ones who have to really think about blend. So I just need to set the tone. It's not like I don't have to think about blend to a certain extent, but it's really not the forefront of my mind. It's more of I'm blazing a trail. But at the same time, I need to have the perspective and kind of the lay down my ego a little bit and say, hey, I do need to realize that Grace, the low harmony singer, could have a much better phrasing for this verse than I do, and give her the chance to do it, because I think it can be oppressive to always sing a harmony part from a creative standpoint to a certain extent, because you're always having to follow someone else's creative path. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that for my sisters, because they're very creative. And so, you know, we're just learning how to all do this together. And honestly, it's a really cool thing, because as human beings, we need to be challenged, and we need our egos to be challenged, because if not, if I was just an individual left unchecked without my sisters, I'd be a horrible person. I'd be so, I would. It's just, let's just be real here, you know. And anyway,
yeah. We can keep you in check.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have checks and balances. What you were saying, I just read this article about wolves.
Wolves?
Wolves, yes, which I knew nothing about wolves. But they were talking about the organization of the pack, and we say, like, oh, he's the leader of the pack, meaning, like, he's the alpha male. Mm-hmm. But actually, they don't do that. Mm-hmm. That they put the weak ones in the middle, and the alpha is actually at the back, because he can see everything, and he can kind of drive from the back. And I thought, what a beautiful metaphor for being a leader.
Yes.
You know, being able to, like, ease people in the direction, and know that the group may need to shift, and that you can be the big eyes around it to say, okay, let's write the course, but that it's not about people following you. It's about being in support of and having a more global view.
That's good.
Which I thought, God, that's a, you know, once again, nature teaching me a lesson about how to live in my urban life. You know, the last that you were talking about, Huldah, I was in researching your work and looking at your backgrounds. You know, you've got such a great thing going on in terms of social media and all of that happening, mm-hmm. which is really great and robust. And I was sort of scrolling through people's comments, which is really cool, and you have such an amazing fan base, and they're clearly so loyal, and
they
such
are.
A
they're
such
awesome.
A diverse kind of group, you mm-hmm. know, as people sort of threw in little personal snippets. It's such an amazing thing to have this vibrant, full, supportive fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also talking about wanting to steer your creative vision further, and you have goals for yourself, and you have artistic goals, and you have business goals, and you have new sounds that you want to head towards, and things are going to happen in your life that are going to influence you.
Mm-hmm.
How tricky is it to navigate that fan base that wants you to stay just like you are, making the music they love, versus you what you want to do? And mm-hmm. how do you negotiate knowing that some people are going to drop away?
Mm-hmm. Mm. We've had to think a lot about that. Mm-hmm. And my take on this, after thinking about that quite a bit and thinking, you know, we've been doing this for a while. We grew up, you know, playing certain styles, and you don't want to be stagnant by just thinking, well, this is what people want, so we're just going to play the same old thing. That's going to get old for you as a player. So how, as a musician, do you further your craft and still be enjoying it and all? And I've kind of come to the realization that the people that started the style of Western swing, which is what we initially started out playing, and a lot of the styles that we play or started playing, they really draw. Those styles many times started an era where their records were a new thing. So all of a sudden people had access to genres and styles outside of their actual local area. You know, so it wasn't just like, oh, I know the players in my valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they could get a record from New York City mm-hmm. and hear Benny Goodman. And so, just as Western swing is a great example. So in Texas, then you have Bob Wills bringing in blues music that he heard as a boy out in the fields, and you have fiddling that he heard from his dad at dances, and then you have he had Benny Goodman records, and then you've got players bringing in steel guitar that was influenced by the Hawaiian music at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first to introduce drums into country music. Those are all innovations. He had the first triple fiddles in his band.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the record companies didn't know what to label that. They wanted to call him a string band, but he wasn't. And so he really developed that style by bringing in more sounds that he was around and incorporating them. And I think that is the best way to be most traditional, is not to say, we're just going to stay in 1950. It's to say, what were they doing in 1950 that made it what it was? So today, you've got to start bringing in new sounds, mm-hmm. and not subtracting from what is around you, but instead adding that into what you're doing. That's how you keep it relevant, and that's how I think you really save a style and perpetuate it and keep it fresh for you. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It is my opinion.
So you're saying tradition is innovation.
Well, at least in our style, I really think it is.
Well, I think in all music styles, it's mm-hmm. kind of like that goes the same. Because Grace has said before, and I thought it was cool, you were like, if anything stays completely stagnant, it's really regressing.
Yeah, it's going to die. Right? Yeah. It's not evolving. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not
so it has
forward.
To. It has to be like a flowing stream, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
There it is. Innovation. I love the idea that innovation is, in fact, traditional. It's a tool in the artist's arsenal and one that's been in use for eons. The way these artists, these sisters, continue to push themselves and one another to keep growing reminds me of the immense power of a shared purpose. We've all had that friend in the band that's constantly breaking up or watched as our favorite local musician slipped into obscurity. Perhaps you've even been part of that great venture that never seemed to get off the ground. Not only do these women have talent, ambition, dedication, professionalism, and willingness, they have genuine commitment. It's a commitment to one another and a commitment to the purpose of the group. They clearly love and perhaps more importantly, respect each other as people and as artists. Their unity is palpable on stage and in conversation, and I feel certain they stay active in their choice to be part of the greater good. They remind me that commitment is not a one-time decision, but rather a daily act, a daily dance between surrender, willingness, and faith. I'm thankful they reminded me that my agenda is not always the most important, simply because it's mine, and that being part of a team can mean sharing success rather than stowing it away. And of course, I'm thankful to you for listening. To learn more about our show, Cowboy Poets and Musicians, or to see pictures of my travels, visit thecowboypages.com.